Is it off?
It's on.
It's on. Okay. Again, good to be here tonight to study the Word of God and seek to tonight renew our minds as He has commanded us in Romans the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2. This is a particularly special passage of Scripture because this gives us direction on step number one, not grade one, but step number one to start our continued growth so we can be in the image of Christ. Romans 12, verse 1, he wants us to exercise our minds by renewing them. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. So he's pleading with us that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's our goal. Because if our hearts are His, our bodies will end up being His, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then in order to do that, step number one, do not be conformed to this world. There's your negative. But be transformed. And this, of course, is what we want to do, and this is what we need to have our mind on regularly, and that's the next part, by renewing your mind. And renewing the mind is to making something new. We renew the building, we make it like new again. In this sense, we renew the mind by renewing the determination. Remember in Romans the 7th chapter, we find Paul describing, actually the Lord describing the mind and the capacity of the mind here. And he starts off in verse 15, Romans 7, verse 15. That which I do, I allow not, for what I would, that's the determination, I will, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent to the law that it's good. Now then it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. All right, then again, he says he's willing to do good, but he's not able to do it. Well, that's the mind. That's the capacity of the mind. So if we determine to do something, and that's the mind that does that, then what happens if we renew the mind? Then we renew our determination. Now, in the Lord, we can determine over and over again, I'm going to be in the image of the Lord. But we're going to have to pick out specific things in order to set our mind on these things and renew our minds and set our mind on a goal. Now, we know from experience that if we don't set our mind to do something specific, then nothing gets done. And so it has to be a specific goal that we set our minds on. Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and verse 23. He gives another command akin to Romans 12. It involves the spirit of our mind. Now, to determine something is the mind, but what about the spirit of our determination? He says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Remember, he says, never lack in zeal. That's one of the spirits that we have of the mind. We need to be zealous toward these things. And we need to renew the spirit of our mind. In Romans the 7th chapter and verse 6, the New Testament spirit is a new spirit. Romans 7 verse 6, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of letter. Now the oldness of letter was the outward man. And the commandments in the Old Testament said, do this, do this, and do this. And very seldom did it deal with the inner man. But in the New Testament, it very seldom tells us what to do on the outer man, but it tells us what to do on the inner man. And so it's not that we help the poor, it's that we show compassion on the poor. It's not that we go and just visit the sick, but that we go and encourage or give encouragement to those that are sick. It's a spiritual thing we need to put our minds on. And so we need to walk in newness of spirit and not in oldness of letter. Now, as I see the world around us in their good deeds, especially humanism in the world, I find that their emphasis is on the good deed. Help these people in Haiti. Give this much money. Help this storm. Give this much money, etc. All on the outward man. But I don't find any emphasis on the spirit of the mind. In Romans, the 8th chapter, in verse 2, we need to live according to the law of the spirit of life that's in Christ. So here in Romans 8, verse 2, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So that's another description of the New Testament. The law of the spirit of life. We need that spirit. In John, the 17th chapter, in verse 19, Jesus now was being transformed. And we need to understand how he was transformed, but first we need to understand that he determined to be transformed. In verse 19, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. So Jesus had his mind set on being sanctified. And he renewed that spirit of his mind. He wanted to be sanctified. And he said, the reason I'm doing this is so that the apostles, these 12, would also do that. And of course, what he wants for the apostles, he wants for us. And so he sanctified himself. That was his mind. And he had to renew that mind over and over to be sanctified. So can we do that same thing? Can we have that goal in mind that we want to be fully set apart for God, sanctified, and we want all of our thoughts to be taken captive for Christ? We want all of our actions to follow our thoughts and be taken captive for Christ till we are only working for the Lord and nobody else? Isn't that what Jesus did? And he was transformed by renewing his mind. So he consciously set his mind on that goal. Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 and 2. One of the main things that we need to keep in mind is these overall commandments in renewing our mind, that we renew our mind to renew our mind. determine to have all these things. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. If then you be risen with Christ, there's from baptism, seek those things which are above. We're starting a new life, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Then he says, set your affection, and that affection here in the Greek is the word mind. Set your minds on things above, not on things of the earth. So here is another transformation. We need to renew our minds that we're not going to be dealing with things that are material things. And so when we catch ourselves doing it, what do? We immediately say, okay, now that's the wrong road to go. I need to set my mind on things above. And if we constantly renew our mind till we're watching for the time that our mind turns to these earthly things, and then we need to ask ourselves, is this something we can serve God with, or is this a vanity? Set your mind on things above. And we need to renew our minds constantly to get more and more practice to think on things above and not on the things on the earth. John, the 6th chapter, in verse 63, Jesus points to the power of the spiritual world. And we need to get our minds set until we're thinking on the spiritual things and we don't get into a pattern of thinking on the outward man. Romans 6, verse 63, or we don't keep that mind. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So here is the spirit now that quickens, and here are the words that Jesus speaks. They are what makes us alive. They are spirit. And so the Word of God will, if we continue to think about the Word of God and renew our minds in thinking on the Word of God, that itself is spirit. And it will help us to be transformed. All right, Hebrews, the 5th chapter and verse 14. Our senses need to be exercised. And again, I'm giving illustrations here, one after another, of different ways in which we can renew our minds. Hebrews 5 and verse 14. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. That's your word perfection in the Greek. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So if we exercise to discern, what do? We know in the world what we do if we exercise our mind to discern certain things. We think about them. We try to divide between them. We try to understand what is one way and what is the other. And what about good and evil? And the only place, of course, we know the standard of good and evil is here in the words that Christ gave that are spirit. So we need to continue to have our mind in the Word of God looking for more and more of what is evil. Yes, we do. Because there are many things that we think are good that are actually not good. They're evil. We need to find those so we can stop thinking about those and stop doing those. Then we need to see what is good. And there are no doubt things that we don't know that are good with God that we need to find. And so we need to renew our minds constantly to look in the Scriptures. What is good and what is evil? And in that way, we exercise our minds, don't we? And that's what we do. He says here, exercise your senses. But of course, the senses in this sense is somewhere inside. And whether it's the heart or the mind, we can still exercise in this, just like we can exercise in godliness. All right, in order to exercise our minds, we need to know our minds. No man begins life with the right mind. We come here like everybody else, like the Lord said. He makes everybody alike, He forms everyone alike, and then He considers all their works. And why does He consider the works? Because they come from the inner man. He gives us a mind and heart, and then says, okay, let's see what you're going to do with it. Well, we've done some things with our mind, which is one reason we're here. The world has done some things with their mind as a reason why they're not here or somewhere like this. God gives us these minds, and He expects us to do what is right. So Jesus now shows us the right mind and the pathway that leads to a more right mind. 1 Corinthians 13, Paul wanted to know himself. And you know, that's kind of an intriguing subject. I remember when I was younger that I saw that word psychology. And I thought, well, this will help me to learn about myself. And when I got a degree in psychology, I found out it taught me all about these things about people that don't have the right mind. Well, there's the world really doesn't understand the mind. The world has its purposes and goals, and it does what it does in order to attain these. But now God is the one that can see the actual mind that we have and know exactly how to train us in knowing that mind. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 10. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Okay? There's an illustration about the spiritual gifts. They're going to be done away. For now we see through a glass darkly. That's with the spiritual gifts. But then, face to face. That's when that which is perfect is come in verse 10. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. So what was Paul's hope? That when the complete truth was come, here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, all truth had not been there yet. It was still in the process of being revealed. And Paul was looking for the time when all truth would be revealed, what is complete, so that he would know everything. And then he says, then shall I, now I know in part, I know part about myself, but then shall I know even as also I am known. So what is our hope here in studying the Word of God? Our hope is we can know our own minds. Our hope is that we can know our own hearts. And that's what Paul's mind was, to know himself as God knows him. Can I know myself as God knows me? We have all the truth now. And that very truth that we have today is what showed Paul what he was. And he knew himself like God knows himself. We can do the same thing. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 16. At this time, Paul had the mind of Christ. Even though all truth had not been revealed, he still didn't know himself, but look at his mind. He says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ." Well, who hath known the mind of the Lord? Well, that's in the sense of understanding what all's in his mind. The Holy Spirit searches the depths of God, which he said earlier in the chapter. But he says, if we knew the mind of the Lord, we might be able to instruct him. Well, we don't have that capacity. The Holy Spirit does that, but the Holy Spirit doesn't instruct him. But in another sense, Paul says, we have the mind of Christ. Now, what was the mind of Christ? Well, the Romans did not have that mind, and the Corinthians did not have that mind. What kind of mind did the Corinthians have? Their mind was to stand up for that man living in adultery and be puffed up for him. Is that the mind of Christ? No, then who is the we here that Paul says, we have the mind of Christ? It must have been himself, maybe Sosthenes, maybe Timothy, or whoever else was with him, or it may have been the apostles. But somebody had the mind of Christ. If they had the mind of Christ, could we get that mind? We need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind, and we need the full mind of Christ. Romans 7. Verse 25, here is Paul's mind, and if I'm not mistaken, this is the same mind that Christ had. Romans 7, verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So that's Paul's mind. With the mind, I myself serve the law of God. So how can we renew our mind? We can determine more to serve the law of God. We've got to find the law in order to obey it. We already know some of it, probably a lot of it, but how much more is there we don't know? We need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind so we can find all the law, and then we can serve the law of God at least with the mind. But we've got to know it before we can do it. And so we need to renew our mind to determine to get more and more knowledge from God's Word. We should have in mind that we want one day to have all knowledge and all spiritual understanding and all wisdom. And can we do it? Paul prayed for the Colossians that they would do it. If he prayed for the Colossians, are they different than we are? We can have all knowledge in all spiritual understanding, in all wisdom, but we're going to have to make up our minds to go after that goal. Romans the 8th chapter, verses 4 through 9, Paul's mind was to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Now we already read that in Colossians 3, but here Romans the 8th chapter, verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That needs to be our mind. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So if I have this mind then, that I'm walking after the Spirit, then what am I going to be thinking about? I'm going to have my mind set on the things of the Spirit and not on things of the flesh. And so my mind then won't think like those people in the world. Remember Paul in 2 Corinthians the 5th chapter and verse 16. We generally deal with verse 15 and verse 17, but let's deal with verse 16 here. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 16. Remember he died in verse 15 that we would not live for ourselves. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. So was there a change there? He said, we don't know any man after the flesh now. We don't think like the world thinks. We have a different determination than the world. And so Paul says, we used to know Christ that way. But now we don't know Christ that way. In fact, we don't know any man that way. Well, can we come to that point where we don't know anyone after the flesh, according to the flesh? You know, we can do that, but we've got to set our minds on these goals and accomplish all of these goals. And how do we keep these goals in mind? You know, if we keep reading the book, they'll pop out to us one after another, and we'll think, oh, I forgot about that one. And what's our goal? Now, I'm not standing up for this program here at this time, but I know we have a program here where we write our name on if we read the Bible every day or a chapter or whatever it is. Would that be a bad thing to get involved with, not necessarily writing our name up, but to read God's Word and look at it to be reminded of these things over and over, especially reading the New Testament? In 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, in verse 14, the mind of Christ was to walk according to spiritual things. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? For they are foolishness unto him. Why? Neither indeed can he know them. Why? And here's the reason. Because they are spiritually discerned. So, as we think according to the Spirit, what about all these people in the world? They think according to the flesh. So, if I spend my time now listening to these people in the world, how am I going to think? I'm going to be thinking like the ones that I listen to. And if I turn a deaf ear to these people in the world that speak on fleshly things, that don't understand the spiritual things, and then I talk to people and read what is walking by the Spirit, what's going to happen to me? I've got a good chance then. I've got a very good chance. But if I listen to the world and their language and their spirit, the natural man, and then I listen to God's people and God's Word, and then I listen to the world, and then I listen to God's Word, what's going to happen? I'm going to speak the language of Ashdod, am I not? Half and half. I'll be thinking that way. And what does the Lord say? Come out from among them and be separate. Can we renew our minds to do that? If we come out from among them and be separate, are we going to be listening to these people in the world? We won't value the things of the world. They have no value to us. We'll value the things of the Spirit, and we'll want to be talking about things of the Spirit all the time. And wouldn't it be a great thing if, and I'm not criticizing anybody because you know that I do it too, but wouldn't it be a great thing if after the service we all talk together and we're all speaking only about the things of the Spirit? That'd be a great thing. It'd be a good goal to aim for, and I'm going to dare to challenge us. You know, the Lord commands us, consider to provoke one another unto love and good works. What would happen if I chose somebody out to provoke to love and to good works? He says, consider how to provoke one another to love and good works. Now, if I make up my mind that I'm going to do that, I'm going to pick at least one person out. And I'm going to consider that person. Isn't that what he commands me to do? Is it a bad thing? No, he commands us to do it. And somebody says, you come and gouge me, I'm going to gouge you. Well, I might get angry. You know, we learn real quick who not to go after. We learn real quick. He says, the wise man loves a rebuke, but the fool doesn't appreciate it very much. So if we try and provoke somebody to love and good works, we get a bad reaction. Well, we don't need to torment them, but we need to make up our mind. We're going to find somebody. But then we also need to remember that as I'm commanded to reach out and find somebody to provoke to love and good works, what's liable to happen to me? You're liable to do that for me. Then I'm going to have to think, uh-oh, I'm being gouged here. I'm being, literally that word is to prod with the rod for a cow. I'm being prodded here. I'm being provoked to love and to good works. And it takes wisdom to do this, doesn't it? Well, we need to reach in the book and find out what to do in order to do this. And we have many examples. Let's turn to John the 8th chapter in verse 23. The people of Jesus' day were men of the flesh, not the Spirit. John 8, verse 23. And by the way, he was talking to the religious leaders. So what happens if we listen to a religious leader today? Same thing. And he said unto them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. He's not talking about his physical body. He's talking about his mind. He was renewed in the spirit of his mind. He didn't think after the flesh. He thought after the spirit. But how did these Pharisees think? Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. We just read it. If you are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. All right, if we seek those things that are above, what are we going to do? If we renew our mind to seek these things that are above. When we catch ourselves speaking about things below, what do? Uh-oh, I need to back up. Then we need to find out, how can I set my mind on things above? And if we can't think of it, we need to read the book more and find out how. If we think in a spiritual way, think according to the heart, we're thinking of things above. Then in Philippians, the second chapter, and verse 20, Timothy had the right kind of mind. Like Paul, he had the mind of Christ. Philippians 2:20, he says, for I have no man like-minded who shall naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things that are Jesus Christ. So what's Timothy's mind here? All right, first of all, he naturally cared for these other brethren. And what could Timothy do when he cared for these brethren? Well, we find that in 1 Corinthians 4:17, when Timothy comes, he will bring to your remembrance all things that I have told him. My ways, Paul said, as I teach everywhere in every church. So Timothy had these things in mind, and when Timothy came, he wasn't going to teach them. He was going to remind them of what they had already heard. Is that a bad thing, to have the same thing preached over and over? Timothy did that. He didn't preach his own sermon. He went and taught what Paul had taught, which is the scripture. All right, so that was the first thing he did in verse 21. For all seek their own. And that's a real sad statement. But what about Timothy? They're not thinking the thing, seeking the things that are Jesus Christ. But what was Timothy doing? Timothy had Christ's work in mind. And all these vanities of the world, all the things the world is involved in, they're not helping Jesus at all. So what did Timothy set his mind on? As soon as he found himself thinking about things in the world, what would he do? That's the vanity. I don't want to be involved in that. I want to find out more of the work of Christ. And we can find it here in the Bible. Lots of things that are the work of Christ. And we need to be seeking after the things that are Christ's. All right, Colossians, the second chapter, verses 8 through 11. The Lord wants us to be careful not to walk in the wrong way. And this is part of renewing our minds, by the way. Colossians 2 and verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. All right, let's look at that closely. Beware, so we need to watch, so we're not caught up in this, that any man spoil you. Now, if we're spoiled, what happens? Well, we know what it is when meat spoils, when milk spoils. What about when we're spoiled? Take heed that no man spoil you. And how could men spoil us? By philosophy. There's your wisdom of man. Vain deceit. And where do we get this vain deceit? Not just the newscasters. After the tradition of men. And where do we find the tradition of men? Well, if we listen to men, what are we going to hear? We're going to hear the traditions of men. And he says, after the rudiments. A rudiment, by the way, is the principles. After the principles of this world. And so what happens then if we listen to the principles of this world? Well, if we accept them and receive them, we'll be spoiled. He says, and not after Christ. So what should we be doing? We should be turning after Christ and seeing Christ's principles. All right, verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And that, by the way, that word God there, Godhead is the word godness. Christ has all of the nature of God, not just in eternal form, but also in the heart and in the mind. And so if Christ has everything that we need, do we need to reach out to something else in the world? And of course, we don't. And if we renew our minds not to seek these things of the world and only seek those things that are of Christ, then we'll be seeking the one who has it all. And if he has it all and nobody else has it, where should we go? In verse 10, "And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." So not only does he have the ability and the source for all these things, but he has the authority. So we should definitely renew our minds to listen to Christ and not to the world. So there is only one religious authority, Matthew 23, verses 8 through 10. Jesus is that one religious authority. Nobody else has any authority. He says, "But be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all you are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ." So we need to have that one source. And that source, of course, comes from the Father through the Son. In Isaiah chapter 9, the Lord even taught this lesson in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." So we were, those in the Old Testament, were told about this time when Jesus would have all this authority. So we need to exercise ourselves to submit to that one authority. And then finally, in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 31, "We are in the world, but we must deal with the world in the way that God wants us to deal with it." 1 Corinthians 7, verse 31, "And that they that use the world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passes away." Now that's a beautiful verse there. We are in this world. We need to work with these material things, but we don't need to be caught up like the world in these material things. These material things are tools for us, not to love, but to use for the work of God. And so we need to be in this world, but not abuse these things. And he tells the reason, "For the fashion of this world passes away." So as we renew our minds and are transformed by the renewing of our mind, we need to keep in mind this world is passing away. And that one thought will help us to get our mind back and renew our minds to walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Tonight, if you're not a member of the Lord's body, we would encourage you to consider obeying his commands. We know that outside of Christ, there is no hope, and we are without God in the world. But in Christ, there is hope, and we are baptized with Jesus in the waters of baptism to rise to walk in the new life. And the command is, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized to wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." If you're ready to be baptized into Christ, or if you need the prayers of the church tonight, then we would encourage you to respond to your needs. Would you come while we stand and sing?
When we walk with the Lord.